This podcast brought to you by Peterson Auto Group. With 5 stores and 10 brands and more than 1,800 new and used vehicles to choose from, Peterson Auto Group likely has your perfect car.
Live from the Next Title Studio, this is News Talk 670 KBOI.
This hour brought to you by A1 Heating and Air. Stay cool and comfy this summer with A1 Heating and Air Conditioning. Visit A1Heating.com.
If you're talking about it,
they don't care about the view. They're not there for a discussion.
We're talking about it.
Let's take a deep breath and not get too carried away.
This is Idaho Talks Live with Paul J. Schneider and Chris Walton on News Talk 670 KBOI.
David Allen, Chris Walton, Todd with 1D in the Next Title studio on a Monday morning. Before we get to the article that I was talking to you about, I watched ABC News last night, and I just saw it on Fox and MSNBC that the Iraqi leader declares victory over ISIS in Mosul.
Yeah, I saw that also.
While that headline is really good, have you seen videotape of Mosul?
Yeah, it's not pretty.
All you've won, all you get for your victory over ISIS is debris.
Yeah, pretty much.
It seemed like every building was just destroyed.
It's kind of the way Beirut looked about 35 years ago. Yeah.
And I'm like,
it's sad.
It is. It's incredibly sad. But you got to get rid of ISIS. What else are you going to do?
But the whole time, I mean, they have been inching along trying to get rid of ISIS. And it's like they take a quarter of a block in a day sometimes.
And that seems as a huge victory.
Yeah. And it's seen at least as a victory.
Yeah.
But in order to take it, they figure out there's a certain building that ISIS has taken, and then they drop bombs on that building or grenades and, you know, in the window or something like that.
Yeah.
And so it just basically destroys everything. But everything's pretty much destroyed anyway. But it's like they're all just holding on to, you know, tiny patches of land that really aren't good for much of anything anymore.
It's incredible.
I mean, you know, to begin with, they were in the desert.
And now they're going to move on to Raqqa and Syria and do the exact same thing.
Well.
But that's what you have to do. I'm not being critical. I'm just saying it.
But apparently,
I don't know that
apparently the Americans and Russians will not be participating.
Yeah. And I guess rather than saying victory, just say we've gotten rid of ISIS in Mosul.
Yeah,
because you've won really nothing. So, all right.
What happened? I think between the president and Putin at the G20 is when they decided to have a ceasefire in Syria. There was a reason for that on both sides. It's because now, if they find out that somebody broke the ceasefire, then basically that's a license to do whatever you want
for a short
period of time.
Yeah, then all. Everything's off the table.
Heck will break loose, yes.
This is an article from USA Today today.
Okay.
The State of Hate in America.
Hmm.
And you and I have talked about this a couple times. And again, I'm only 55, so I was born in 1962. You were born in 1965?
Correct.
Okay.
And I am 51.
So I don't have a recollection of the 40s. I don't have a recollection of the 50s. Yeah. I can call my dad and we can talk to him if you want.
I know quite a bit about them simply because my parents have told me quite a bit about them.
It feels like nearly every week, America is rattled by a new incident of hate. In June, a white man in a Chicago Starbucks was filmed calling a black man a slave. And a white woman in a New Jersey Sears was videotaped making bigoted comments against a family she believed was Indian. They were not. In May, two men on a Portland train were stabbed to death trying to stop a white supremacist anti-Muslim tirade against two teenagers. Hate symbols are showing up around the country. Nooses in the nation's capital, racist graffiti on the front gate of LeBron James' L.A. home, a banner with an anti-Semitic slur over a Holocaust memorial in Lakewood, New Jersey.
Mm-hmm.
On Saturday, the loyal white knights of the KKK rallied in Clarksville, Virginia, less than 2 months after white supremacist Richard Spencer, who coined the term alt-right, led a similar protest in the city against the removal of a Confederate monument.
Saw that.
Several white national groups are planning another rally for August 12th. In an America where deep divisions exposed in the presidential election have only intensified in the last 8 months, these incidents take on a new meaning as they become more widespread. They're increasing not only in a number, but in terms of their ferocity, says Chip Berlay, a scholar on the far right, of the far right. Groups that track these incidents, Southern Poverty Law Center, the Anti-Defamation League, and the nonprofit news organization ProPublica, which is creating a national database of hate crime and bias, says hate incidents are a national problem whose scope we don't fully grasp. Tracking them is notoriously difficult because not all law enforcement agencies send hate crime data to the FBI. Five states don't even have hate crime protections.
Right.
Many states don't include protections for LGBTQ people.
And there were, at the beginning of hate crime legislation, there were plenty of people who said, okay, it is already against the law to vandalize. Mm-hmm. It is already against the law to hurt somebody, no matter what your reason is.
Yeah.
And the only thing it wasn't against the law to do at that point was to say something hateful because, that was protected by the First Amendment.
Yes.
Free speech.
In its most recent hate crime report, the FBI tracked a total of 5,818 hate crimes in 2015,
mm-hmm.
a rise of about 6.5% from the previous year, and showed that attacks against Muslims surged. The SPLC documented an uptick of hate and bias incidents after the presidential election, tracking 1,094 in the first month alone. The organization also says the number of hate groups in the U.S. increased for a second year in a row in 2016. In April, the ADL reported anti-Semitic incidents in the U.S. rose 86% in the first quarter of 2017.
That seems,
86%.
That seems like a lot.
Doesn't seem like a lot. It is a lot.
Okay.
Minorities feel less safe.
Anti-Semitic in this case meaning just anti-Jewish?
Yes, there's a picture I'm looking at here.
Technically, anti-Semitic means anti-Arab as well.
Yes.
Because it means anti-people... are of Middle Eastern origin. Well, a lot of people don't know that. They think it just means Jewish.
This picture I'm looking at here is legitimately a Jewish center.
Okay.
It has the slang word starting with an H, which is derogatory to Jews. And it says H's will not divide us.
Okay.
So, and it's an us versus them situation.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, it's been bad for a long time.
Sure.
It's been bad in just my lifetime.
Well, pretty much the entire history of the world.
Certainly, yeah. Certainly it's bad. Like I say, it was bad in the 40s because I know that the Jews were ostracized in the 40s after World War II. And blacks have always been looked down upon. Hispanics have been...
By whites.
By whites, yeah. That's what I mean. I'm blaming all the minorities who were looked down by the majority, which would be the white folks. And I guess I just don't get it. And I know I'm going to seem ignorant, but I'm going to explain myself.
No, I mean you seem nice and you seem unbigoted.
Well,
but not necessarily ignorant.
Well, I guess maybe naive, and I'm going to explain why I'm probably naive when we get back. But
you're listening to Idaho Talks Live with Paul J. and Chris. Rush Limbaugh comes up at 10 on 670 KBOI.
8:51, welcome back to the show. David Allen, Chris Walton with you. I wanted to read one final thing before I explain what my naive ways.
Okey-doke.
This is something like this makes me feel good about America when I read about this. When the approximately 50 KKK members converged on Charlottesville this weekend to protest what Klan member James Moore said was the ongoing cultural genocide of white Americans, more than 1,000 counter-protesters showed up to decry hate in their city. The Klan members were heavily outnumbered, chance of white power drowned out by racist go-home.
It was about 20 to 1.
Yeah. So your wife would be able to attest to this also. The best thing that could have ever happened to me, and I think to most people, is to grow up in the service academies. The service.
All right.
My dad was an Air Force.
So you grew up on bases.
Air Force bases. Yeah. Your wife grew up on Army bases.
She grew up on Army posts. Yeah, exactly.
The thing that it teaches you is you are friends with everybody. And you never say, this is Timmy, my black mm-hmm. friend, and this is Joseph, my Jewish friend. These were people all just your friends because within a year or two, everybody changes. You're either moving or they're moving.
Yeah, that's a good point.
And I was friends with Hispanics and Asians and blacks and everybody because you all were in the same boat
mm-hmm.
because you all were moving everywhere all the time.
That's right. Every couple of years or sometimes every year.
Every year, somebody was leaving and it might be your best friend. I remember Jimmy Durden was my best friend in Turkey. We played Little League together. Couldn't have been happier. A year and a half later, he's just gone. And it was the weirdest thing, and I never thought to myself, Jimmy Durden, my black friend in Turkey. No, it was just Jimmy Durden.
Yeah.
And Mike Patterson was my friend in Turkey, and he was a white guy. And they were just my friends.
Right.
I never once thought, I have X number of black friends and X number of white friends. And
what you're describing is actually the opposite of bigotry or prejudice.
Yes. And I just don't understand how someone can look at somebody else and say, because of X, Y, or Z, because of your skin color or because you're Jewish, I hate you. I have no idea who you are. I know nothing about you, and I hate you.
There are a lot of examples of this, and we're actually, and I can forgive people to a certain extent for at least having that reaction initially. Now, I can't forgive them if they think it over and still have that same reaction.
Sure. All right. I understand that. Okay.
But bigotry, essentially, from the time you're very small, you're conditioned toward it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And like, for instance, if you see, one of these mass shootings and you see that the person that they've got in custody is either Latino or black, you think, well, gang related. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what they say. Might be gang related. If you see that the person is Arab, Muslim. All right. You think, well, terrorism.
Yep.
If you see that the person is white, quite often the first thing they say is probably had a mental illness. Okay, what's the difference? Well, the only difference is, you know, they're different races.
Yeah.
And it's whether you see someone, it's whenever you see someone and immediately decide that they have certain traits based on what group they might belong to. That's called bigotry or prejudice. And it could, you just feel about a person solely because of their membership in the group. And it can be practically anything, like male or female. All right. Heterosexual, homosexual.
Mm-hmm.
Do they believe in God? Do they not believe in God? You know, what do they value? What do they not value? Are they rich or poor? Old, you know, in the middle,
yeah.
Young. Are they disabled? Are they in great shape? You know, what religion are they? What language do they speak? What color is their skin? All these different things are things about which you can be bigoted. However, from the time that we were very small, at least, you know, in our lifetimes, there's always been television.
Sure.
And lazy writing is when you simply, you know, if somebody's a criminal, you make him this guy because you think most criminals look like this.
Sure.
Okay. And if somebody's, going to be, I don't know, anything that you can attribute to a certain race that can be either derogatory or simply just for comedy, in a way makes you a little bit bigoted somehow, mm-hmm. or prejudiced because of that. Like if I say, oh, well, all Catholics are like this, or all Mormons are like this, or all Muslims are like this, simply because of somebody's membership in that particular group, I'm assuming that they're like everybody else that's in that group. Now, are you like everybody else that even so much as looks something like you?
No.
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 Okay, and you know that, and part of that was because of your upbringing, yeah. with so many different kinds of people.
And it's such a learned thing. When kids are small,
yeah.
they don't care who their friends are.
No.
But it's all the hate that they get
when
day
you go to
in and
when
day
you go
out.
To a nursery school, you know, kids just want to play with other kids. They really don't care.
Yeah. All right, national news coming up. Then we'll be back to talk all things Trump on 670 KBOI.
This hour brought to you by A1 Heating and Air. Stay cool and comfy this summer with A1 Heating and Air Conditioning. Visit A1Heating.com.
If you're talking about it...
They don't care about the view. They're not there for a discussion.
We're talking about it.
Let's take a deep breath and not get too carried away.
This is Idaho Talks Live with Paul J. Schneider and Chris Walton on News Talk 670 KBOI.
David Allen in for Paul J. all week. He is on vacation. Well earned, might I say. Chris Walton, Todd with 1D, pushing all the buttons. So do you want to talk about Donald or Donald Jr. or everything Trump?
Well, you said before the commercials that we were going to talk about everything Trump, so I suppose we should do that.
All right, so Donald Jr. met with a Russian lawyer, mm-hmm. before the election. Because he supposedly, through an intermediary, was told that they had some dirt on Hillary.
Yeah. Well, I think what he was told by the intermediary is that you're going to be meeting with somebody. And the intermediary apparently was somebody Russian.
A Russian.
But it was somebody that...
columnist.
Yeah. Somebody that they knew through... when the Miss Universe pageant,
yes.
owned by Donald Trump, was in Moscow. And they were told that apparently this individual had some sort of proof, or at least some sort of story, that the Clinton campaign was being helped by the Russians.
Mm-hmm.
And according to Donald Trump Jr., when the meeting occurred, it wasn't very long until they discovered that that was just a ruse to get them to the meeting. And that actually what this individual wanted to talk about was adoptions.
Yes.
Whether or not Americans during this administration would be able to adopt Russian children, Russian babies.
And at that point, Donald Trump Jr. Says he stopped the meeting and left.
Yeah.
Because he wasn't going to do anything with that.
And there are only a couple of things, I think, that come up. A lot of these things, I mean, I've been in a million meetings, and the only thing they all had in common was that I didn't call any of them.
And you didn't want to be in most of them.
I just had to go to them.
Yeah.
So, you know, and who was there in the meeting usually didn't matter much. I mean, you take a meeting with whomever, usually. However, a couple of things is number one, you know, why would you take a meeting with somebody and then not disclose that you did?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's one. The second one is it that easy to convene these particular people simply by telling them that you might have some dirt on their opponent? Okay, and again, you know, we don't know exactly what was said, exactly what happened. And the other thing is if somebody intends to tell you that the Russians have been up to something which is obviously illegal, would you not also call the FBI? You know, there are a lot of questions that come up, but again, it's all supposition, and so it doesn't. And I don't really care if I ever get the answers to these questions or not.
And the president said he knew nothing about the meeting.
Yeah. Now he was supposedly in the same building at the time.
Yes,
and this was his son-in-law, and a good friend or advisor that were all in this meeting. And so there are some people that say, "How could you not know anything about it?" And again, I don't know the answer to that.
No.
And again, it's probably. Maybe it's important, maybe it's not, but I'm not going to pretend that I know the answer to that.
Because
I don't.
And then you have Donald, the president,
mm-hmm.
President Trump,
right.
At the G20.
Right.
When he met with Putin. I think it went well. They were behind closed doors for a couple hours, then came out and talked more.
They at least met, and they stayed together for a couple hours.
And they did come up with a ceasefire in Syria.
Mm-hmm.
Which has already been broken by somebody. There's been some fighting down there.
Well, it wasn't a Russian or an American.
No,
involved. I mean, in Syria, there are still going to be people fighting.
Sure.
Basically, the Russians and Americans have decided not to be part of it.
And Trump's...
Or at least not to be a part of it in a shooting kind of way.
Trump was reported mm-hmm. to have pushed Putin on whether he meddled or Russia meddled in the elections.
Mm-hmm. Pushed, asked, you know, however you'd say.
Yeah. Yeah. Putin said, "Niet."
Well, I mean, and what was he going to say? Oh, yeah, you've got us.
Yeah. I mean, I know. That's why the question's ridiculous.
Basically, the whole point of that was simply to bring it up and to say, you know, I realize you know this because everybody in the world watches the news, but I realize you know that you are being accused of meddling in our election. We have intelligence agencies that indicate that they know that Russians did this. I know you've said that, yeah, it could have been somebody in Russia. There are a lot of people in Russia. In the same way that if you said, well, an American did it, I'd say, okay, did an American do it
sure.
on behalf of the government, or did just an American just do it?
Yeah.
And I don't know the answer to that. And again, if I knew the definitive answers to any of these questions, I would certainly say so. And I don't. I don't know who's guilty, who's not guilty, or if there was, you know, even any crime committed. There are agencies right now that are saying that somebody messed with our election. How did they do it? Well, I don't know. How, you know, and what outcomes were changed? Well, I don't know if any were. Okay, there's so many things we don't know. That's why, you know, I'm not jumping on anybody's bandwagon right now.
Yeah. Interesting article on USA Today, again mm-hmm. today, about how Trump changed the nature of American leadership at the global summit because he didn't go to a lot of the big meetings. He met with leaders one-on-one,
mm-hmm.
face-to-face, off to the side.
Yeah, he does things his way, right?
And I wonder if...
And a lot of people, the ones who criticize that, say, well, that wasn't according to protocol. And I'm not going to defend that because, you know, you grew up, as I said, in an Air Force family.
Sure.
And you understand what protocol is.
Yep.
And what it means. And, you know, like I said, my wife grew up in an Army family, and there were some, like her dad was an officer, so there were things you absolutely had to do and could not do. That was all there was to that. And there is a certain amount of protocol that is expected of you in any, you know,
situation.
In any situation or world gathering like
yep.
the one that they were in. However, and this is not an excuse, it just is what it is. He quite often... simply just wants to do something a different way, the way he would do it.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times it's a bit of a power move. which is something that people who are CEOs and people who've been in business a long time tend to do.
Well, I would think that would
they
be
tend
his...
to, they tend to try to get an upper hand simply by doing something a certain way.
Well, I would have thought that would have been his mindset. It's like all my life,
maybe
whenever
so.
I wanted to close a deal, I've always sat across from somebody and said, let's make this deal,
mm-hmm.
and then shake their hands.
Okay.
And he goes, I can't do that in a room of 20 people.
Well,
I can't.
Okay, then that's a good point.
I can't talk to Macron from France when he's way down at the end of the table,
right.
and it's Thanksgiving dinner, and I can't hear anything he's saying. So I need to sit with him and talk to him. I can't.
Okay.
If I'm not sitting right next to Vladimir Putin, I can't talk to Putin.
Yeah.
If he's down the way, it does me no good. I guess my question for you and the audience at 336-3700, 1-800-529-5264, or #670 on your Verizon Wireless, does it trouble you at all, and I'm not 1%, 100%, does it trouble you at all the blind spot that this administration has towards Russia and all things Russian? Between Donald Trump Jr. taking the meeting with the Russian, between
Flynn,
between Putin and Trump discussing things and coming up with a cybersecurity wall that
Kushner,
immediately was,
et cetera, et
was
et
thrown away quickly
right.
because everyone said that's the craziest idea ever. Does it bother everybody about the blind spot the administration seems to have for Russia?
And again, I think one of the keys there is seems to have.
Yeah. We'll get that answer. We'll take your calls, 336-3700, 1-800-529-5264, or #670 on your Verizon Wireless. It's 915. You're listening to 670 KBOI.
This is Idaho Talks Live. Today at 1, listen to Savage on 670 KBOI.
920 now at 670 KBOI. KBOI rewards code, Russia. R-U-S-S-I-A, Russia. Enter that keyword at KBOI.com. Get your 5,000 rewards points. We'll send you a wishbone jar of Russian dressing also. we're talking about whether it worries anybody that there's a soft spot.
Mentioned by Sean Spicer some time back.
Yes, it was.
When he said, if the president had Russian dressing on his salad, you'd think there was collusion going on.
I hate that I said something that Sean Spicer did. That bugs me. Rocky in Nampa, you're on 670 KBOI with David and Chris. How are you, sir?
Yeah, you staying warm?
Yeah, I almost had to wear a jacket today because it's not going to be 105.
Well, last year I was saying, come on, summer. Now I'm saying, come on, winter. can you name one shred of evidence that the Russians had anything to do
Not personally, I can't.
Nobody else can either. And not even the what 17 FBI or security agents at the LA Times, New York Times claim they had. They said, well, the evidence, we don't know any evidence, but a myriad of FBI and CIA directors and people all say that the Russians did it. And then when Tucker Carlson said, well, what is the evidence? And nobody can answer that. And to this day, nobody can. But you can say this, that the United States meddled in the elections in Israel. And that's a fact. So why are we talking about the Russians, which mean nothing, because there's nothing to it? And that's why Trump doesn't pay it no mind, because there is nothing to it. He didn't have to go to the Russians to beat Hillary. All he had to do is present an American point of view, and people voted for him.
So I'm guessing you don't have a worry that it seems like the whole administration has a soft spot for Russia in the long run.
I could care less about Russia.
Okay.
Russia has nothing to do with it. I would think we ought to be worried about Korea. And really, don't you?
I'm not
disagreeing with you, Rocky.
I'm one who believes we can do more than one thing. But yeah, I do think that North Korea could.
Thanks for the call, Rocky. We appreciate it.
Could definitely be a pain. South Korea is pretty fun.
Yeah, South Korea. I'd go visit South Korea.
South
Probably not going to visit.
But South
North Korea
in
soon.
in Asia. I mean, if you go to Japan or South Korea, you're going to see an awful lot, Hong Kong as well. You're going to see an awful lot of Western-type stuff.
Certainly. Gary and Emmett, you got about 2 minutes, brother. How are you?
I'm fine. How are you guys?
We are doing well. Thank you, sir.
I think about blind spots as far as people judging Trump, the man who wrote The Art of the Deal, and not expecting that he has read The Prince by Machiavelli. And honestly, when you look at our relations with Russia, there are leverages. We have, of course, economic leverage. I think we probably have overall a technology leverage. Mm-hmm. Now, Russia, on the other hand, has the very most important strategic resource for technology in this day and age. That's, they are the source of titanium, and they also offer the only port that we can actually have manned space,
yes,
things through. We cannot, for a decade now, launch a man into space without using the Russians. They also furnish most of the rocket motors used in over half of the missiles that we have that we use for satellite launches, believe it or not.
Do you think it's just this country's overall fear from back in the day, the whole better dead than red, the whole Soviet Union? And so there's still that label on Russia that they're always trying to subvert us and make us communists and they hate our capitalist ways?
No, I don't. I think that it's more of honestly, at this point, it's more a mature relationship, and we are vying for spots, and we're trying to exceed one another. It's a competition, not necessarily a healthy one, but it is a competition for influence and wealth.
All right, Gary, thanks for the call. We appreciate you checking in today.
Yeah,
thanks.
And I really don't have any argument with that.
No, I don't either.
Because you think back to 1992, 1993, 94, along in there, when the Soviet Union itself had collapsed.
Yes.
And all the countries became separate again. And the Berlin Wall came down, so the entire Eastern Bloc suddenly was a bunch of newly organized and or free countries.
Mm-hmm.
With the exception maybe of the ones that were Yugoslavia, because they started having wars and whatnot.
Yes.
Croatia and Serbia and Bosnia and Herzegovina. And the rest, several others, Montenegro,
all those tennis
Macedonia.
Players.
Right, exactly. A lot of tennis players came from there. That's true. But it kind of felt like, even Bill Clinton gave speeches at that time saying, well, we're going to be cutting down on the military. We're going to be, closing some bases, closing some different posts and things because they're not particularly necessary anymore.
Yep.
And then over time, people started to come to believe that, maybe they still are.
All right, John and Boise, hold on. We'll get you after the news, sir. That's coming up next with Rick Worthington on 670 KBOI.
This is Idaho Talks Live. Today at 3, listen to Nate on 670 KBOI.
9:36 at 670 KBOI. This portion of the show, sponsored by the good folks at the Snake River Stampede. It's time for the 102nd annual Snake River Stampede, July 18th through 22nd at the Fort Idaho Center in Nampa. Boasting a $400,000 payoff, the Snake River Stampede is one of the top 10 regular season professional rodeos in the nation. Keep listening to The Morning Show and Nate Shellman all week to win family four-packs to the show from 670 KBOI, including right now. 336-3711, 336-3711. The sixth caller wins a family four-pack of tickets to the Snake River Stampede and all the fun that that entails. We're discussing what could be a perception of a blind spot in the Trump administration, and we have instant messages.
Yeah, we got both sides quite okay. Covered here. Let's see. Dave of Boise says, I am not sure why we wouldn't want to be friendly with Russia. President Trump is doing exactly what he should be doing, and I don't see the threat. We have always been totally different from Russia politically. Donald Trump is accomplishing things with Russia that I am sure the average citizen will never even hear about. But it will make our country better, which was always President Trump's plan from the get-go.
I will tell you that I agree with Dave. I don't want to be Russia, and mm-hmm. I don't need Russia to be U.S. 2.0. But we're already friendly and friendly with China, which is another big superpower. Why not be friendly with the other superpower on a lot of things, not everything.
And when it comes right down to it, peace is probably better than war or conflict of any kind.
We don't have to agree on everything. We really don't. But you're friends with a lot of people you don't agree with everything on, right?
I'm pretty much all of them.
Yeah, yeah. I'm friends with a lot of people that I'm not. Yeah. I don't agree with everything on, but we're still friends. That's just what you do.
That's true.
So anyway,
yeah, I've got. I mean, if you look at my Facebook friends, they are all over the board.
Yeah. And so I agree with Dave. Let's be friends on things like getting rid of ISIS and increasing trade and making sure that Syria is not a war zone and that we don't
I'm all for war over that. I'm all for getting rid of ISIS.
Yeah, okay.
They just don't seem too reasonable.
They don't seem too reasonable.
FJ of Montclair says, an excerpt from The Art of the Deal, dealings a week in the life. I don't do it for the money. Now, this is Trump talking.
Sure.
I don't do it for the money. I've got enough, much more than I'll ever need. I do it to do it. Deals are my art form. Other people paint beautifully on canvas or write wonderful poetry. I like making deals, preferably big deals. That's how I get my kicks. Most people are surprised by the way I work. I play it very loose. I don't carry a briefcase. I try not to schedule too many meetings. I leave my door open. You can't be imaginative or entrepreneurial if you've got too much structure. I prefer to come to work each day and just see what develops. Which is like the guy that used to work at the photomat. Bill of Meridian says, this administration's blind spot towards Russia. My stars, 8 years of Obama rolling over for a belly scratch from Putin every time they met. I'm pretty sure he doesn't mean that literally.
Probably not.
And the Clinton Foundation taking cash from them during the pendency of a decision on selling controlling interest in U.S. uranium to the Russians. Why not talk to the Russians? It is called negotiation and diplomacy. We avoid shooting wars that way. See, and again, I'm all for that, exactly.
For
avoiding shooting wars,
yeah.
Especially when people get shot in them. I expect business people to talk to everyone with whom they might find common ground. And how is fear of the Russians any different than racial prejudice you were decrying earlier? Not every Russian works for Putin.
100% agree.
In the same way that not every American agrees with Trump or before him Obama or before him Bush or before him Clinton, etc., etc.
You don't have to goose step in lock stock with everybody. Yeah. You just don't.
Well, unless you are
a goose stepper.
Like in North Korea,
yeah.
You do. Terry Boyce, he says, gee whiz, a month before he had even won the Republican nomination, the Trump team was interested in doing some opposition research. Wow, that is unheard of, or is it? If I were in the newspaper biz, I'd sure rush that into print. And
well,
let's see.
And the reason they do it is because it sells papers.
In this case, TV shows.
TV shows, yeah. Exactly. They've been looking at this Russian thing for 6, 7, 8 months.
Now, Crude Pundit, a little bit on the other side, says President Trump confused and alienated our allies at the G20 conference. His America First and I Am America stance has given world leadership to China and Russia, France, and Germany. Run back of his Russian interference discussion with Putin. Vladimir, did you do it? Vladimir, no, Donald, we did not. Trump, okay, then let's move on. And again, the thing is, what would one get out of that conversation?
Putin's not going to do a belly laugh and say, yep, sure did.
I mean, that would be, you know, like a lawyer defending somebody said, I, Your Honor, he told me he didn't do it, and I really don't know what else to do here.
Yeah.
You know? Francis of Boise. How cool that we have a president who is not the usual politician. Good idea to meet individually with national leaders. Makes sense to me. Isn't this president the author of The Art of the Deal?
100%. Yeah.
From a couple of emails ago. H.G. McCall, Don Jr. meeting sounds unimportant with each president. I prefer to live in the present and not what they are doing and what they are doing for our country right now. Not suppositions about past behaviors. Silly to make a news item about any of this. And yet common. And Mike R. of Boise, again, on the opposite of that. Chris and David, how dumbed down does the Trump family think the American people are? Do they expect us to believe that a meeting between Trump's son, son-in-law, and campaign manager with a contact promising dirt on Hillary was not known to candidate Trump? We is dumb, but not down at that level.
336-3700, 1-800-529-5264, and #670 on your Verizon Wireless. Let's head out to Boise. And John, you're on 670 KBOI. How are you, sir?
I just love some of this. You know, when Obama was patting the knee of that Russian, saying, wait until after the election, I can be a lot more flexible,
mm-hmm.
It wasn't I didn't hear any of these people say anything about that.
You heard other people say it.
People like
yeah, I did. It was definitely different people, but yeah.
Yes, huh. Yes. And then Hillary Clinton selling over 20% of our high-grade nuclear material to, Russia does make nuclear bombs and stuff. I don't know if anybody's aware of that.
No, yes, I am aware.
I think we are.
Obama approved it, And where's all these people yelling about that? I mean, that stuff will kill people.
Yeah.
I don't know if anybody's aware of that.
Yeah, you're right, John. Thanks for the call. We appreciate it.
Hey, you have a good one.
All right, you too.
By the way, if there's ever a question about, I don't hear anybody yelling about this or there's nobody aware of that, I don't necessarily recommend this if you don't want one, but I'd say maybe get a Twitter account and you will discover that there are people who yell about possible thing from every possible angle.
All right, Frank, Steve, and Hank, you guys hang on. We're going to get you after the break. Also, I want to congratulate Matt Herberg. He won the 4-pack of tickets to the Snake River Stampede.
Well done.
Nate has another 4-pack to give away this afternoon, and we have them all week on the morning show also. It's 9:44. You're listening to 670 KBOI.
Remember, you are listening to Paul, Jay, and Chris on 670 KBOI.
David and Chris at a Pet Shop Boys concert. 9:49. Let's head back to the phone. Frank and Meridian, you're on 670 KBOI. How are you?
Never been there.
Okay. Hey, good, guys. How you doing this morning?
We're doing well, sir. Thank you for calling in.
Yeah, I guess I'm not terribly concerned about this situation. I guess I kind of come from the school of thought where you keep your friends close and you keep your enemies closer. That's kind of where my thought process is on the situation.
Okay.
Or the enemy of my enemy is my friend.
That'll work too.
Yeah.
That'll work too. Yeah.
So, I just don't understand how you can't just agree on some things with the big superpowers in the world, and all fight ISIS and get rid of ISIS and Al Qaeda and whoever else might be terrorizing Russians and Chinese and Americans and South Koreans and Japanese. Everybody. Why wouldn't you get rid of those people?
I'm with you on that.
All right, Frank. Thanks for checking in. We appreciate the call. Thanks. Stephen Boise, you're on 670 KBOI. How are you?
Good morning. I was reminded on Facebook this morning that liberal means open-minded, but I'm not seeing much open-mindedness about this man's ability. He's been prejudged before he even got into office. And, it's a shame because the guy's got some good ideas. He's not a political figure. He's a businessman. And that's why I voted for him. And I could not believe the hatred that was pointed at me the day after election from one of my very liberal friends. And it was just, I thought, is this what the world's going to be now? You're either with us or you're against us in America? I mean, don't we all deserve to have the same opportunities? We've gone so far one way trying to undo the roots of slavery, and now we've pushed back the other way.
Not that undoing slavery was a bad thing,
Well, no, it wasn't. But, we've kind of undone things since Johnson was in office, and it's changed the whole dynamic of this country now. And I'm not sure we can get back to being one America anymore. How about you guys?
Well, Steve, you're right.
When exactly were we?
Well, we never were.
Okay, there are a lot of people that say, a lot of people, when they hearken back to the time when we were one America, they essentially mean, when all the white people were all going in the same direction.
It's when we pulled together to get something accomplished.
Okay.
The Panama Canal, World War I, World War II.
Okay.
It's when we worked together. We can have separate ideas.
Right. Those were the things we did.
And, that's another thing. You guys were talking about your friends.
Yeah.
The biggest separation that I see in this country is not black versus white.
Mm-hmm.
It's Republican versus Democrat.
Mm-hmm. 100%
agree, Steve. Thanks for the call. And he's right. There's some short-sightedness for Trump, and all the Democrats would go, welcome to our world for eight years.
And again,
because they all backed Obama and thought there was short-sightedness from the other side. So,
a couple of instant messages back, the person made a good point saying that, the prejudice that we were talking about to open the show
mm-hmm.
is that you look at someone who is a member of a particular group for whatever reason, and you assume that they are just like everyone else in that group.
Yeah.
And you say, well, liberals all do this, conservatives mm-hmm. all do this, mm-hmm. Republicans all do this, Democrats all do this. I've known twins that didn't do the same thing.
Exactly.
You know, and triplets, you know, that had completely different personalities. If you've ever had brothers and sisters, you probably, some of them are, you know, really great, and some of them are, you can't believe, you know how they even ended up in your family.
And thing is,
and yet they were raised by the same people you were.
Even the ones I get along with?
Yeah.
I don't agree with everything.
There you go.
And it's as simple as that.
People just have a tendency to be completely different. Hey, let's, a couple of quick instant messages here. Bob says, we have a much better position in negotiating with Russia. They have a third world economy with a powerful military. We hold most of the cards. I'd give them first or second world, maybe second.
Yeah.
And then Mari says, wait a minute, did that guy just say that we should not be looking at Junior's past behavior? So is that a standard now? Don't look at anybody's past behavior. I'm going to guess he's not an HR director. Because
that's true.
I mean, you have to look at a resume and figure, well, this individual appears to seem to know something, or this individual appears to have done a lot of, or made a lot of stupid mistakes in their life. And again, everybody makes mistakes.
Sure.
But there's a difference between, like, you know, there's a mistake. I forgot to pay my phone bill, and there's a mistake. Well, I inadvertently killed someone.
Oops. Hank, you got about 90 seconds. You're on 670 KBOI. How are you, sir?
Okay. Russia has an economy that's half the size of GNP is to France. In other words, France being a second ranked killer power. The only thing the Russians have is basically nuclear weapons that keep them even on the world stage. And the problem is that if the oil price, they were dependent on their foreign currency on oil, the fact that the petroleum market has collapsed has put the Russian economy in shambles.
So do you think that there's a good chance that the U.S. and Russia can get together on things, Hank, and agree on some things and disagree on another and still work together to make the world a better place?
Like how to mess up an economy?
Well, I think that if it puts it in Putin's interest to do so, but always keep in mind he's not a friend. In other words, we have to keep our nuclear bargaining chip with him to convince him that it's in his interest to play along with us.
No, Hank, thanks for the call. I agree with you. He's not our friend. I'm not saying that. I'm not saying I wouldn't trust him watching my dog or my kids over the weekend. But if I want to get rid of ISIS, I might have to pick up the phone and say, Vlad the Impaler, what are you up to? Can we get rid of ISIS together? Can we see eye to eye on that?
He is a former spy. That doesn't sound suspicious, does it?
No, of course not. And he would love to see the Soviet Union come back. That's not suspicious either.
Probably.
But I think
he's one of those guys that definitely would like to remain in power.
I agree.
Which is why where he is, he can be the president for a term, and then he can be the prime minister for a term, and then be the president for another term, and the prime minister for another term, and essentially have exactly the same powers.
All right, Rush Limbaugh, up next on 670 KBOI, followed by Michael Savage, then Nate Shellman. Don't forget, he will have Snake River Stampede tickets this afternoon, a family four-pack to give away. Keep listening. Enjoy the Monday. It's 670 KBOI.